Welcome to Finals Footy on Fox League. Listen in to the first segment of NRL 360 or watch the full show live on Fox League, 6:30 p.m. Monday to Wednesday.
This is NRL 360 brought to you by Chemist Warehouse. Let's take a look at what's leading tonight's agenda. Knights captain Mitch Pearce could be on the move. We analyse Pearce's form this season and identify the clubs who might be interested. The Penrith Panthers are one win away from a grand final. How soon does Ivan Cleary need a premiership to prove his coaching credentials? Brad Fittler backs Rabbitohs playmaker Cody Walker to make his origin return while the hits just keep on coming for the battling Queenslanders. And it's Legends Night. Jeff Toovey and Mark Carroll launch an investigation into all the things they believe need fixing in rugby league. Good evening and welcome to NRL 360 Rugby League from every angle. I'm Ben Eichen together with Paul Kent from the Daily Telegraph. So, what does our great game look like under Toovs and Spud?
Vastly different.
Different?
Very different. Yeah, I think there'd be no blood bin for a start.
Lara Pitt, James Hooper, good evening to you both. So I just wrote down a couple of notes. I thought of shoulder charges, spear tackles, mullets, shoulder pads.
Spud had to get rid of all that.
Did he?
Yeah, it was a condition.
Yeah, Bozo made him get rid of the mullet, didn't he?
Really?
And the number plates.
Rid of the mullet, rid of the moustache. Rid of the headgear, rid of the shoulder pads.
So Turvey and Spud in charge. This could get very loose tonight, couldn't it?
I think it'd be an angry game of football.
Nothing wrong with that, Lara.
Not a bit of banter wrong with that as well, Lara.
Yeah. All right, let's get into tonight's agenda. And not long after the Newcastle Knights were well beaten by the South Sydney Rabbitohs in week one of the finals, speculation is growing that Knights captain Mitch Pearce could be on the move. Hoops, is Mitch Pearce on his way out the door at Newcastle?
I think there's some tough conversations going on amongst the Newcastle Knights football department at the moment as to whether Mitchell is the best playmaker to take them forward or not. Now, he's signed for next year. He's on $1 million a season. So I find it hard to believe that Mitchell would want to move anywhere. But certainly, I think the people who designed the roster are having a look at how they might be able to shake things up and shuffle things around.
So there's been plenty of theories tabled. I think there was at one point a conversation about a swap with Mitch Moses. The Roosters had been mentioned. I mean, what a glorious return that would be to go back where it all started. You've been making a few phone calls today, Lara. What have you heard?
Yeah, my impression about that was that maybe that was coming from Pearce's camp. There was discussion that there was a two-year offer on the table from Newcastle. Now that has been changed to a one-year contract extension and that perhaps Mitchell himself is disappointed with that. Having spoken to Newcastle today, my impression from them is that they're preparing to have a delicate discussion with him about his contract because he is on $1 million a season next year and that for that contract extension, they're going to be asking him to take a pay cut to $700,000 perhaps and then for 2023, which they're interested in him for, he'd take a further pay cut to $650,000. So for your captain, for your halfback, to be looking at that kind of money at the tail end of his career, they want to sit face to face with him and have that discussion.
So it sounds like this is all about he's at Newcastle next year, but he's obviously got concerns about 2022. Club's starting to examine its situation in 2022, and that's just fast tracking what might happen next year now. Is that fair to say?
I feel like that maybe that he's reassessing where he wants to be if the club isn't showing that. You know,
returning the love.
Yeah. But from my talks with them today, I think they're building this club around Mitchell Pearce. He wanted a big back rower there, Tyson Brazil. They went out and got him. They wanted Jaden Brayley. They went out and got him. David Clemmer, the same. I think he'll be sitting down and asking them what their plans are for the number six jersey going forward. And I don't know that they've quite figured that out.
I think it'll be Kurt Mann.
Yeah, but
he's contracted next season, isn't he? But not the season after.
He
won't be going anywhere next year then. There's no way another club's going to pick up a freight for $1 million.
No, I'd be surprised if he goes anywhere next year. But to your point about the contract offers, Lara, you're right. They offered, initially there was talk of a two-year deal. Then that got pulled off the table. Then there was the offer of 12 months. That's now off the table as well. And it's when you come back to training, we'll sit down and have a conversation about where things are at. And at best, They're only going to give him one season. And they're not giving him 2023.
And the speculation about a swap with Mitchell Moses has been categorically denied by both clubs.
Yeah, I
was text messaging Brad Arthur at Parramatta today, and he said, absolutely not. We're 100% committed to Mitchell.
Yeah. And Newcastle
he spoke about himself, and he spoke about Andrew Johns, believing that Mitchell Moses is the right halfback for Parramatta. So I don't know where that began. There's a couple of different conspiracy theories, but I don't see that one coming to fruition.
They often point in the same direction.
But my feeling on it with Newcastle is that they do want him to finish his career there. They just don't. They don't want to insult him by saying, "We know you're on a million next year, but you have to take the year after and the year after that, almost half by the third year. By 2023, he's almost halving his salary." So Philip Gardner, the CEO, wants to sit opposite him. He's not been in the bubble. Mitch has been in the bubble. They need to sit opposite each other and have this conversation and see where it lands.
To be fair, he finished the season playing tired. I remember watching a press conference after the round 13 game where Blake Green arrived at the club. They beat the Tigers 44 points to 4. And Mitch sat in the chair next to his coach, Adam O'Brien, and asked him about Blake Green, and he said, he's very calm and he's very smart. And even though he's talking about Blake Green, I felt as though it was an indication of where he was at, because Mitch doesn't like to do the heavy thinking, the heavy lifting in terms of the thinking for the side. He struggles with it because he likes to play in the moment. And then I think it was only 2 weeks later, Blake Green does his knee. And all of a sudden, all that responsibility that Blake Green had only taken for two games was forced back on Mitch Pearce. We get to the end of the season and he just looked worn down. You know, playing
the entire side did.
And he passionately mounted a case to the Knights to sign Kieran Foran. That was another big player that he wanted there next year for him. They looked into it, they listened to what he had to say, but ultimately they weighed up the pros and cons and decided not to go with it. You make a good point. I think he wants a six next to him that he can work with. And I'm not sure that he feels, and I'm not speaking on behalf of Mitchell here, but maybe he doesn't feel like he's getting that in the halves alongside.
Can I be honest with you? On $1 million a year, the bloke he's got playing in the one jersey should be ample support to allow him to deliver a return on that $1 million. Like, Kalyn Ponga is on his way to becoming a franchise player. Look, I know they lost some support at dummy half and Kurt Mann had to move and he had a good partnership going there. Blake Green, you know, in for two games and gone. But at $1 million a year, Mitch Pearce shouldn't be relying on who else is in the halves with him to get his job done at the level they need him to do.
Kalyn should be picking up a bit of slack there too.
Yeah, agreed. He's like on huge money.
Well, the concern for him is he's fallen into this comfort zone where, okay, I've arrived. And he's playing like he's arrived. His football didn't improve this year. He's still a young man. He's still in that improvement age. He should have improved his footy this year. It didn't improve. Superstar talent, but he needs to continue getting better. He shouldn't think he's the finished product right now, Kalyn Ponga. So he needs to start buying in a little bit about what the Knights are trying to achieve. The pair of them together.
Together need to solve the problem.
The differences between their best
given how much they take up on the cap.
Individually and also as a side, the differences between Newcastle's best performances and their worst are so
far
erratic.
Apart.
They had everything on the line against the Gold Coast Titans to secure a home semi-final and they turn it up and get beat by 30. Ben, I get the impression at Newcastle, there's more to this. There's things bubbling below the surface that haven't fully come to light yet, but you know, I just get the impression there is a bit going on up there, and I think Adam O'Brien, having come from successful systems at the Melbourne Storm and the Sydney Roosters, is just sitting back and trying to put all the pieces of the puzzle together, and then I think we'll see the club make some tough decisions.
Yeah, you talked about the fatigue though at the back end of the year, and there's a theory that under the 2 years under Nathan Brown, that the training and that the pre-season was slightly different. Mitchell Pearce came from the Roosters system where they had very tough pre-seasons. They were conditioned, you know, with an inch of their lives. And they get Adam O'Brien there this year, who was of the same school of thought under Trent Robinson. So he puts a really big pre-season into them. They came out of the blocks flying. They started the season before COVID break really well. And then they sort of ran out of gas at the back end of the year. And I think after another full pre-season under Adam O'Brien with a fully fit roster with Jaden Brayley back, that maybe he can do better things with them next year.
All the buzz today, Lara, was the Sydney Roosters. Can you see Junior somehow landing back at the Chooks?
Trent Robinson said to me an hour ago, it's fanciful. There has been no discussions with Mitchell Pearce, and there's no way that it's going to happen. And that's also down to their salary cap as
well. That's in the short term.
That's their salary cap for next year. But I wonder, because there was always a theory when Junior left that at some point there's a feel-good narrative for the club. The Roosters would love to get him back and give him an opportunity to finish it at Bondi.
Wow, that would be big. In other transfer news, Jack Hetherington, the Panthers forward who made a name for himself as a player on loan to the Warriors this year, looks set to join Trent Barrett at the Bulldogs next season on a two-year deal. Now, he made quite the impression, didn't he, in 2020, young Jack?
Yeah, look, he's been earmarked since a very young age. He's got a big future ahead of him, and I think the way he physically imposed his way into games this year really made an impression on people. A lot of sides looked at it and thought, geez, we could do with some
but
of that.
That's only if he can stay on the field. He's been suspended 10 games. He's only played 23 first grade games. It's an issue for sure that Barrett's going to have to, just to get the best out of him. He's clearly got talent. He's clearly an angry man. He's got all the right things going on.
There's something sick and twisted inside rugby league coaches that like games with that statistic.
He's
nice and mad, and they'd rather have a bloke who's nice and mad.
He ticks differently, right? Yeah. He ticks differently, but you know what? You don't want to have him half of your first grade career.
You'd rather be trying to pull him back.
Stop rolling your eyes at me. Are you actually rolling your eyes at me?
No, I'm saying you'd rather pull him back than push him on, you know what I mean? Like, that's what you want out of your players.
Yeah, totally. I agree. But there's got to be a fine line there.
There is. And he
went to the Warriors and got suspended for, what was it, a month for taking off Jared's head? No. Martin Tabau's head.
Yeah. But he did take on Jared Warihargreaves, right?
And then Jared wouldn't shake his hand at the end of the game.
Yeah. Is there a chance that Matt Burton ends up at the Bulldogs next year?
Not next year. Having spoken to Penrith today, they are adamant he is signed for next season. They still have big plans for Matt Burton and want him to remain at the foot of the mountains.
Beyond next season.
Yes. But certainly, even if he does sign with the Bulldogs or another club for 2022... the Panthers will not be releasing him.
Surely
next
there's an unless. There's always an unless.
Unless what?
We won't let Matt Burton go to the Bulldogs next year unless. If there's money coming back. Well, I want to know where all this money is that was meant to arrive at Canterbury in 2021 that was promised by the next board. We're going to be out of this mess by 2021. They're meant to be in the market with all this cash. I mean, if that's the case, then surely...
Well, they've signed Luke Thompson, they've signed Nick Kotrick, they've now signed Jack Hetherington, they've still got the money available to go and have a good crack at Burton. So they have been slowly spending the chequebook.
Yeah.
Maybe they try and appeal to the Panthers in the way that the Panthers tried to appeal to the Tigers to let Ivan Cleary go from his contract early. is that the way you do it?
I think it's more about what's happening out of Melbourne with Josh Addo-Carr. We're prepared to let him go a year early, but we want an equal player in return. Unless you can give us that player, then we're not playing ball. That's the sense. But I would be desperate if I was Trent Barrett to try and get Matt Burton to Canterbury next year, that's for sure. Now, if you want to get yourself into a grand final, this is a pretty important week. We all know that. The NRL's four best teams face off this Friday and Saturday. The winners moving one step closer to a much-coveted premiership.
We are now down to four teams challenging for the 2020 Premiership.
That's right. 16 teams, now down to four, in the weirdest, wackiest, somehow most wonderful season in NRL history. Panthers, Storm, Raiders and Rabbitohs. Young and inspirational, old and wise, so very emotional. The gifted eyeing the prize. The first of the grand final qualifiers, Friday night, live here on Fox League, it's the Storm and the Raiders from Suncorp. There's Cameron Smith, the future immortal, playing out his final acts of on-field greatness. The players privately call him Jackie Legs, because of his long spider legs. Alone, he's played 40 finals matches. 40. That's more than some teams combined.
Melbourne, you can rejoice.
That's unbelievable.
Cameron Smith.
There's Jack Whiten. While all the Raiders greatly respect Papa, Josh Papali, at day's end, to them, he's a big, lovable bear. Nah, it's Jack Whiten who flicks the Gelignite switch.
Jack Whiten is there!
He's the one who glares at them. And they know they have to get the hell up and do better. Because most really good scrappers don't like to scrap. Jack Whiten, he loves it.
Jack Whiten just sent the Raiders to the preliminary final.
Saturday night live on Fox League. In the second grand final qualifier, it's the Panthers and the Rabbitohs from ANZ. These Panthers won the minor premiership by as far as the Cleary kid can kick a football. Everyone thinks it's the halves making Penrith great. Maybe it is. But what about this little bloke? Appy Corrissell. He won a comp at Souths, and then, when he couldn't nail down the hooker spot at Penrith, he hightailed it to Manly, where he made a difference. Now he's back at the foot of the mountains, doing the same thing. Making a difference. A really big difference. Then there's Wayne, the long, skinny coach. Wayne Bennett, 7 premierships. Last week, when the Rabbitohs were asked what Wayne had said to them before their triumph over the Eels, all replied, Wayne doesn't say much. All except to the will of the wisp hooker Damien Cook. Wayne told me to back myself, said Cook. Think about that. Going into the biggest game of your life, the coach tells you to just be yourself, and that's what ends up making the difference. We can't all do that, but Wayne Bennett and Damien Cook can. That's why we love finals football. And this, somehow, the most wonderful season in NRL history.
Sudden death footy on Fox League. You've got to love it. Just 4 teams left for great coaches. Craig Bellamy, Ricky Stewart, Wayne Bennett and Ivan Cleary, who's done a masterful job with the Panthers this year, taking out the minor premiership. But I need to ask, how soon does Ivan Cleary need to win a proper premiership to prove his coaching credentials?
What's been going a, for a while. Proper premiership?
Beyond a minor premiership.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I look, clearly this is his best chance, okay? And I know where you're getting to, the fact that he's had coached 350-odd games now. No coach has ever coached that many games without winning a premiership and then won one. So it looks like the window's over. But, Ben, he's making his own history here. He's coaching better than he's ever coached. He's coached a team that has lost one game all season. If they don't win it this year, this squad will be better placed next year. They'll be more mature. There's the only player that they're losing so far is James Tarmo. Jack Hetherington, but
he's
from the starting lineup.
Yeah.
But they only lose James Tarmo. They've got a cavalry of other props coming through. They're in a magnificent spot.
Mm. It'd still be burning Ivan. He's coached the NRL for 19 seasons. That's a long time to not lift the trophy. Now, in fairness, he has won premierships in the lower grades, but it's professional sport. He knows this is his window here and now. He needs to strike now.
The other part to this, Lara, is that potentially for Ivan to be at his best at this club and to prove the board right, bringing him back after his first stint didn't end the way that either party would have liked, Phil Gould potentially needed to move on. But here's the two questions from the same issue. Do the Panthers get to this point with Phil Gould? And do they arrive here without his influence at the foot of the mountains?
I think they can't be here without Feelgood, absolutely. I don't think anyone at Penrith right now would say they could be where they are without all the work that he did. He sold the dream, his dream about where Penrith should be, to so many people, to sponsors, to players, to get them to come to the club. That didn't always work out for the best. But for them to get to this point and to get beyond what Phil's dream was, and for Ivan Cleary to even come back, I think it was on the proviso that, you know, Phil finished up his role there because he needed autonomy. And I don't think you can't really 100% say that you get that with Gus, because he can't not get involved at all levels.
I agree. I think Phil Gould did a magnificent job, but part of it is how much did he hinder the club in the final stages. Let's remember, Anthony Griffin got sacked when he had the club running fourth, in position to actually do something. And because of the turmoil that then ensued from that sacking, they ended up finishing eighth and limping into the finals. There's been a few times during Gould's tenure when they were really well placed to do something, and for whatever reason, things just happened to go wrong. But now, with a clear run, Ivan Cleary has just got a team that is just humming.
No doubt, Kenty, Gus is a great wartime leader, but once you get peace in the valley, once you get the roster that you want and everything's settled, then it was time. It was definitely the right time for
Gus. A bit of overreaching.
Gould's a constant tinkerer. Okay, he was like that as a coach. You know, he's constantly going for the trick play. What's your trick play? What's your big play? Let's do this. Let's try and get him this way. And he'd come up with one that would work, but then he just kept thinking. That's the way his brain works. He's always trying to add and improve. But sometimes you've just got to sit back, as Wayne has shown, who's the complete opposite, and just say, guys, we're going all right.
Just keep
doing what we're doing.
Yeah. It's a big brain that can't sit idle.
Yeah, and that's what's happened. That's what happened with the roster management. Ivan's come in and just settled everything down. Suddenly the players are relaxed. They know they're going to be there next week. And they're performing.
But equally, it's taken some getting used to, because now that Gus's big presence, from one day to the next, it's gone. There's sort of no one to take the fall, because often Gus was the voice for the club. And everyone, there's a bit of pressure that goes with that now on Ivan and on everyone else to lift and to perform. They have done that. But imagine it had gone the other way. It would have been, they shouldn't have.
Well, did go the other way last year.
Yeah, last year, the culture issue. Yeah. Yes, that's true.
All right, well, Rabbitohs captain Adam Reynolds front of the media today and spoke about the influence of a South Sydney coach. It wasn't Wayne Bennett nor Jason Demetrio, but rather the assistant to the assistant, Ben Hornby.
Yeah, he's been good. He's been great all year for us. We get together at the start of the week as a spine and come up with a game plan and how we can break down teams. And he's at the front of all that. He's works in the background extremely hard. And then once we get out in the field, we put in the practice, he's running everything. So he's been outstanding for myself, for Cody, Cookie, and obviously Corey coming in at the back end.
So he's having a heavy influence on the attack and with a specific focus on Damien Cook, Cody Walker and Adam Reynolds. I think Ben Hornby's doing a pretty good job.
That's it.
It was 144 points in the past 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, him and Dean Young worked obviously closely together at the Dragons, and both have big ambitions to be first grade coaches. But there was big changes at the Dragons with the coaching staff, and Ben was one of the coaches to make way. And by all accounts, it's been the best thing for Hornby, because he's spread his wings, learnt new things under the coach that took him to a premiership, now back at the Rabbitohs. But speaking to Damien Cook about it, I don't think it's a big surprise that Wayne's the man manager and that Hornby's the X's and O's guy who comes up with the attack and the game plan. And he's a clever player himself, a former halfback who can look at opposition's attack and defence and find those weaknesses. So
another sign as well, Lara, of the experience of Wayne. Like, I think he's nearly 70, but the best operators will surround themselves with other smart operators because they know that they'll make them look good. Better. And he's got younger people as well, Demetrio and obviously Ben Hornby too. Sammy Burgess was in there for quite a long period of time as well. They're humming along nicely.
Yeah, the young word was actually used. The young assistants was used by the players.
Yeah, right.
To keep Wayne on his toes about the changes in the game.
Maybe the young assistants might have chopped up a bit of video this week, and Wayne might have actually watched a bit of Penrith He may well have had a look at Penrith.
Yeah, because he said he hadn't watched
Just to clarify.
I reckon he's had a look by now.
Just to clarify, Wayne's not nearly 70. He's proper 70.
Okay.
He's nearly 71.
New South Wales coach Brad Fittler has given Rabbitohs playmaker Cody Walker a real show of confidence this week, saying Walker deserves selection in this year's Blues squad and will form a three-way halves rotation with Luke Keary and Nathan Cleary. Now, this is the definition of coming full circle, right?
Well, he was hooked on debut last year, wasn't he, up at Suncorp Stadium when the Blues ran into all sorts of trouble down that left edge. Latrell Mitchell was also dropped out of that game too. But he's one of the in-form players in the finals at the moment. And he's a player who is instinctive and doesn't need to be relying on structure or those types of elements of the game. He can just play off the top of his head. So he's your perfect 14, and I think he's absolutely earned the right to get another shot at Origin level.
So he's in the squad at 14. He's not ahead of Keary at
six. Freddie in an article today was saying that certainly he's in the mix.
It's a three-way battle.
To possibly wear the number six jumper.
Well, see, my concern there is that whilst Cody's playing wonderfully at the moment, has he performed on the big stage? Like you've seen Keary do it in grand finals, and Cody's playing well now. If he wins the prelim and wins a grand final, absolutely. He's up there with a shot.
And, you know, the other thing is I'm yet to see Nathan Cleary dominate at that level himself. I mean, he it's not as though he's gone for a final series or an Origin series and been the standout.
Mm. Been solid.
Solid.
But he hasn't had the opportunity. You can't argue. He's a different player this year than he has any other year.
Is Cody Walker's better this year than he was last year too?
Yeah, but there's a difference there. Cody Walker's on the other side of 25 than what Nathan is.
A bit of turmoil in the Maroons camp today.
We should ask you. What's going on? How do you pick players that are on holiday in the Whit Sundays?
Word went around the office. It couldn't wait to get back to me that Xavier Coates apparently knocked back the opportunity to train with the Queenslanders to stay on holiday. Petro Sivanasiva has quit as the team manager because he doesn't want to go back into the bubble. So you can go
in the bubble with Queensland, help them out.
We're officially down and out.
Can I just also clarify?
Yeah.
Can you confirm or deny, is it right that you're 0-2 since you became a member of the QRL board as a Queensland director? Two series, zero victories.
Hasn't won one.
I can confirm that, James, yes. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
In other words, the Broncos have dodged a bullet.
But in delightful news...
That is low.
How have we worked together for 9 years? Seriously, you are incredible. But in good news for the Queenslanders, Lindsay Collins and Jake Friend were both added to the squad, and both well deserved too, right?
Oh, Collins, he's had an absolute bumper season. Reid Marnie missed out, the young Parramatta hooker, but you can kind of understand, given that they've got Ben Hunt already in the squad. Harry Grant, in all likelihood, is probably a good chance of being the starting nine. And then they've got Jake Friend in the side added to the 27 as well. You reckon he'll go with Jake? Experience?
Just what he brings to the rest of the team. He's just tough.
Yep.
He just
missed out for all these years behind Cameron, and then Harry Grant jumps in.
Just the kind of player Wayne Bennett loves. Now, the Melbourne Storm, Canberra Raiders prelim final on Friday night could come down to stored energy versus momentum. I'm sure you'd agree, PG.
I don't even know what it means, man, to be
honest. It means that the Melbourne Storm have been resting.
Well, mate, say
and
that.
The Canberra Raiders have been playing and winning.
Stored energy. What's stored energy? Seriously, mate. You've got to get off the...
Have you been spending time with the coach whisperer?
Just go and eat some meat or something, please.
Is it a risk that the Storm have been resting?
Look, on the surface, it certainly is. This will be, for some players, it'll be their first game in 4 weeks. Okay, but there's no doubt the Storm have considered all that. Mm. So they're in a place, and the guys who didn't play and haven't played, the older guys, they'll be as fresh as anything. So I think Melbourne have really considered. I think they're in a good spot, Melbourne.
Now, you're a bit disappointed with the lack of promotion from the NRL and the Storm in Queensland. I read your column today.
I am a little bit disappointed. I just think that this is a game. A lot of people ask me why the game's been played there. I think it's a good idea to play the game there. It's just rugby league's second biggest market, and they're getting the preliminary final. They whinge every year in Queensland about not having a grand final. You've got a preliminary final up there. But the fact is, when the AFL did a deal to go to Queensland, we all sat there. It looked ridiculous on the surface. But the one thing the AFL have done is they've gone out and they've worked hard to make it a winner. And this week, we've got a game in Queensland. And without getting into the whole, you know, oh, you're bitching about Cameron thing again, this could be Cameron Smith's last ever game of rugby league this week. And there's not been one celebration for him for a game at Suncorp Stadium.
Yep.
Like, seriously, you could not sell this in the NRL. Like, what are they doing there? And what are the Storm doing there? Like, why aren't they out there on the front foot? The irony is the Raiders are the only people who have been proactive this week about playing a game in Queensland with what they've done on their social media.
Yeah. It's been very strong.
And they had their whole squad available for interview yesterday.
Oh, yeah. But seriously.
All right.
Cameron could disappear. We might not know he's gone.
We need to leave it there and just say we need to be better. Lara Pitt, James Hooper, thank you. Strap yourself in, people. The crazies are on their way. Jeff Tuvey and Spud Carroll join us next. Have a look at them, would you? And on our way to break, here's a look at the great takes of last week's finals brought to you by Sally's Power Group.
Williams, so good at this. Oh, Tedesco, bamboozled, and Whiten scores! Jack Whiten just sent the Raiders to the preliminary final. As the game's best player is completely discombobulated. What a cruel bounce at the back for James Tedesco. He didn't deserve that bounce. Cook takes off, does a kick, Gufferson's there, ball comes loose, and Bailey Sarinen has scored for South Sydney. To that point, Gufferson had done it all tonight, but it's a James Tedesco-like moment.
Gufferson, instead of forcing it, tried to pick it up, and in doing so, the ball's popped up and Bailey Sarinen was there.